Hey everyone, welcome to episode 24 of the Sword and Slime podcast, a show dedicated to RPGs, JRPGs, and MMORPGs. I'm your host, Ryan. I'm joined by co-host Trung. In tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing, should casual gamers play JRPGs? But first, Trung, what's up? Welcome to the Digital Studio.
It's great to be here. Still hot as heck.
Yeah, you know, one day you might actually live in a place
where you have
AC, comfortable AC, but I guess that's not today.
No, not today.
So before we jump right into this topic, Trung, there's been a lot of games that have come out since our last episode.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, do you care or are you still Lost Ark ended up?
Still playing Lost Ark, but I got to try out the demo of Stranger of Paradise, whatever. It's the new Final Fantasy game, sort of.
With the weird name.
Yeah, it's Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, because every name has to be like a freaking essay.
Sure. Yeah. And where's the demo available at?
I think it was on the PS4 store.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, was it very limited? Was it kind of like, you know,
I think you just do like the first dungeon and then that's it.
Oh, so there's like actual party combat?
Yeah, it's multiplayer too, as far as I know, where your two party members can be swapped out with real players.
That's kind of cool. So like almost like a fully co-op Final Fantasy maybe?
Yeah, I heard that you can fully do the campaign with your friends, like all the way through to the end with two other friends.
Oh, I'd say that's pretty game changer in a Final Fantasy game.
Right? I mean, it would be if the story wasn't completely garbage and didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The gameplay is fun, but the story is really bad.
I mean, dude, I remember playing the Final Fantasy 15 demo and it turned out to be a completely different game. Like you're in like Noctis's dream or something. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I think so.
It was like they introduced the combat, but then it had like really nothing to do with the main game. So at least you got to do like a dungeon crawl.
Yeah, but you got the experience of story and it was awful. And I wanted to not relive that.
Cool. I said I probably won't ever come back to it, but I'm playing Cyberpunk. I just reloaded my save that I left on and I didn't realize how close I was to the end. So I'm at the they call it the point of no return. So I can go in there and do the whole business and, you know, jumpstart the last mission. So instead of doing that, I'm buying all the apartments because of the 1.5 update added like apartments and quality of life improvements and better AI and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I heard about that stuff.
Yeah, and you can like, you can max out all the gigs you do for the fixers in the areas. So you get weapons or I've gotten a weapon so far. I've gotten like a cyber implant, some other stuff. So far it hasn't been worth doing, honestly. So I'm kind of leaning towards cleaning up. I'm doing Judy, which is a character. I'm on her final side mission. And then I'm doing Johnny's side mission. And then I think from there, I'll just end the game. Otherwise, there's really nothing else going on. But yeah, so I'm about to beat that. And then once I beat Cyberpunk, I might play some Battle Brothers. They just had a new update with a free DLC, which is a turn-based version of Mount & Blade, pretty much, but way harder. And I'm itching to play Triangle Strategy, of course, because, you know, we waited practically a year for this fucking game.
I still haven't played it yet. I'm being distracted by Lost Ark.
Yeah, I'm stoked to eventually play it. And Alan, friend of the show, he's playing it, so I can't wait.
Oh, he was a huge fan of Final Fantasy Tactics also, right?
Yeah, he went down the rabbit hole with me. And then I also really want to play Elden Ring, but I'm tracking like the patches in between, because I'm not just going to blindly buy it after so many people have reported, you know, so much wrong with it. So I'm gonna wait for that. And I figured I'll just use my Switch controller, because it's pretty much acts the same in the control scheme with Elden Ring. So I'll just plug up my Switch controller and play that.
Have you ever played a Souls game?
Yeah. I played Dark Souls 2. So. And then I played Bloodborne on the PS4.
That's my first introduction to the Souls game, was Bloodborne.
Dude, I loved Bloodborne. That was really cool. Yeah, I like the aesthetics and the world in Bloodborne. I jive with that kind of stuff. It's pretty sweet. But yeah, so a lot going on, but we should probably just get into it. So we're here to discuss, just like our MMORPG episode, we're here to discuss if casual gamers, and when I say casual, you know, I can even elaborate to say the general gamer. Someone who's, you know, picking a game up a couple hours a week, or, you know, just playing purely for the fun of it. They're not, you know, doing things with competitive modes or really caring about online presence or online features and games, but, you know, they're just enjoying gaming, as a side thing, as their hobby, so to speak. And I wanted to bring you up because, one, our show discusses JRPGs. And we're trying, I'm sure you would agree with me, but there's a love-hate relationship with that genre.
It's a very, very, if you like it, you like it. If you hate it kind of deal.
Right. And just like any genre, though, there's some series that perfected, you know, their style and the playability is enjoyable, but then there's a lot of games like you might only like one JRPG and you might not like any other one. Cause they're so, even though they're very same, they're not. So, but we want to discuss it because it's an interesting, you know, style of game. And a JRPG, I might as well just explain what it is. It's a role-playing game that is made in Japan and has a certain play style, has a certain aesthetic. And most of the time, it's very niche stories, as you just heard Trung discuss that demo. And niche doesn't always mean good. So, and the thing is, they claim it's a niche storyline, but it's highly replicated throughout the genre. So there's a lot of games within the JRPG genre that it could be the same fucking game, just, you know, a different protagonist.
It's almost always not, saving the world from a god or something.
Yeah, and then like some chick with big tits falls in your lap. But that's not to say there aren't amazing storylines, right?
Yeah.
But that's generally what a JRPG is, Japanese role-playing game. And, you know, there's, I would say the most common now, you know, they're generally, you know, the anime graphics, right? Because it's not like the original Final Fantasies were, everything's pixelated now, though that's mainly indie games these days, but it's mainly anime. You know, the dialogue, I would say in JRPGs, though you see it in Western RPGs, right? Like Fallout, Skyrim and stuff like that. But like, I would say the dialogue really carries the games in general, especially if you look back at like the Tales series, Trung.
Yeah.
For me, you know, like the Tales series is basically a fucking book with just actions, you know, like fucking battles in between. And then also it's always generally a fantasy setting. You see it range from like high fantasy to even, I don't know, Persona, right? Or would you even call that, Trung? Like just like modern mixed with fantasy?
It's modern fantasy, I guess. I don't know. Like, right. It's still knights and stuff, but it's also in the real world that we live in.
Yeah, and it's like the splice between magic and cyberpunk almost.
Yeah.
And I want to say what's largely popular with JRPGs is the turn-based systems that, you know, dominate the scene. And I would always guess if it's a JRPG, there's going to be party combat. That's just how the classics were, and that's just how they are now, which is fine with me. So, though you'll see in a lot of Western RPGs, I would even say The Witcher, you know, party combat isn't really a thing. So, not all the time, right?
Yeah, nowadays it's more about just you as a player.
Right. But that's a JRPG in a nutshell. And we're going to kick it off with some downsides. I want to get the negative out. Like when I sent the notes to Trung, he's like, well, is there anything you like about JRPG? I was like, I totally forgot. I was dumping on him and I totally forgot how to defend him. But, yeah. So Trung, I wanted to ask you first,
right?
You know, like say you have limited time during the week and, you know, someone hands you like Final Fantasy 15, or, you know, like Rocket League or some shit.
Right.
And you're like, or actually you have those games.
Right.
And like Kimchurs, my wife is asking you, what do I play? Like, and you're like Rocket League. So like, why would you offer the non-JRPG to the you know, the casual gamer? Like what makes you hesitant about putting someone on that path, so to speak?
I mean, it's a huge time sink, right? Like it's in your notes. JRPGs tend to go on for a long time.
You steal my notes? What am I going to talk about?
Well, I mean, it's there and it's a point. Like the games are very long. It's always been very long. And then there's, depending on what you want from the game, you could grind past just the story because there's always something to do after the story. This post-game stuff.
Yeah.
So it really would be up to the player whether or not they're into that. But yeah, it's like the general point not to give the casual player a JRPG is just because the games are very long. And people nowadays are usually just like looking for games that are pick up and play. So, you know, they don't usually have that much time to invest into learning this something to play.
True. Is that your biggest negative? Is just how much time it generally takes to play the game?
Unless you're like an anime fan, you're probably not gonna like the story. Usually, it's very in line with most of the anime stuff. Where oh my gosh, there's a female protagonist that probably falls in love with the male protagonist, even though they're way out of league from each other. Or the male protagonist, of course, always wins no matter what. Fight a literal god and you beat them because power of friendship and all that stuff. So the story is very hit or miss for most people, which is understandable because there are people who like anime and there's people who don't like anime. Can't really think of that many negatives for the genre since I kind of biased towards the genre.
Right. I think we both are.
Yeah. So it's hard to find the negatives in it when I typically enjoy them.
Yeah,
that's about all I really got for that one.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely agree with you, especially now with so much like day-to-day stuff going on. JRPG, like I'm still only on the second game of DotHack GU remaster. And you know what I did, Trump? I went on YouTube and YouTube the ending for the second game, the third game, and then the, you know, the surprise fourth game in the trilogy. And the fourth game was really just fan service. It was like concluding, because like in the third game, Ovan just kind of like disappears. Like there's nothing really going on. But the fourth game tied up the loose ends. But I was on game two and I still had like 50 plus hours ago to complete the trilogy plus the fourth game that they like snuck in there. So the time sinks real, especially just with real life activities or obligations is a better word for it going on. And that's just not going to go away with JRPGs. And on the flip side of that, you know, if you've played Steam from the beginning, like when it first rolled out and games were hitting Steam and like a lot of reviews, you know, negative or positive, depended on how much time you could get out of a game for how much you spent on it. You know, this is the days before early access, et cetera, et cetera. Not to say those comments don't exist, but back then, like, you couldn't go to a games page and not see that. And JRPGs, yeah, like, average time is like 60 to 70 hours completion. That's 100%. So not 100%. I can easily probably get 40 hours out of one. You know, people would be like, oh, well, that's more bang for your buck. You know, that one JRPG can last you 80 hours, but it's not a smooth, you know, a smooth 80 hours. It's a bunch of, you know, collection mechanics and,
that's always weird. Mini games.
Yeah. Mini games or, you know, we talked about this before, Trunk, but it's hilarious. It's like some JRPGs implement grinding that rivals MMORPGs, but there's no one else you're competing against. It's fucking you in a single player game. So, you know, and there, you hit a wall in these games and it's real. So it's like, wow. Okay. So you can take it for what it's worth, like, oh, more bang for your buck, or it's like you're dragging your head along the pavement to, you know, on your way to completing the game. Another downside is, you know, there's so many great JRPG stories, but a lot of them are mostly, and it's not even just stories, it's how the game plays out mechanically, or even, you know, through traversal, etc. But they're very linear. Not the best of them. Well, actually, some of the best of them are the classics, right? But they can be very linear, which I don't mind these days, because a lot of the open world games, it's like, I don't even really go. I don't explore the open world, right? To completion. Like, sometimes I just like, oh, I go to the continent, you know, that part of the map once, and I'm like, I'm done. But it could be very linear. The Tales series comes to mind. And even kind of a little bit of Kingdom Hearts, because, like, yeah, you have the freedom to, you know, what planet you're going to get to, you have your gummy ship and, you know, shit like that, but once you're on that world, you know, it's very limited play space, where you go and battle and talk to NPCs and rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
At least one and two are, right? And, you know, we talked about this in the beginning of the episode. There's a lot of reused story and there's a lot of reused anime tropes. Again, if you're not an anime fan, which is kind of, it's kind of hard to be a JRPG fan and not an anime fan. But when you're diving in, you're going to really need to start off with those more mature storylines. So like some of the early Final Fantasy games, Writing of Stories is my fucking favorite JRPG. But you're going to need to look elsewhere first for sure. I would even take Persona 4 as one of my first JRPGs, because it's like, it's got a really nice flair to it, and style. The story style is amazing, I think, but a lot of it's reused. And, you know, I say, you know, you're going to start with the classics or older JRPGs. Well, the truth is a lot of them don't age well, which is super important for, you know, say new players, right? You go to like a Reddit thread and you're like, I want to play a JRPG for the first time. And they'll mention, you know, Final Fantasy, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, Suikoden, which you can get on the PS Vita, I think, at this point in time, or an emulator. But they'll mention these old games. And I mean, those, like, the Suikoden games are awesome, but like a lot of them just don't age well. They don't look good. The mechanics suck. You can't really mess up turn-based combat. But just like the older games have you running back and forth a lot and talking to the same PC a lot. And it's almost like you're in a beginner zone in an MMORPG. So, and some of these games, it can take hours to move on to another area. But that really depends, though. That's not every JRPG. I'm not trying to scare you off JRPGs, but in general, I don't think they age well.
Some of them are also very structural. And like, it's basically like town, dungeon.
Yes.
Town, dungeon. Town, dungeon. And that's how the story is going to go for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's like the gameplay loop in general.
Yeah.
That's like the baseline for all JRPGs. Like, and then just the back and forth. And a lot of them, the older ones, you know, it's a forced tutorial. There's no skipped tutorial like we see a lot in, you know, games that have like a, you know, a plus game version after you beat it, or, you know, you're loading just a new save, or, you know, I talked about this with, you know, Graven, one of our listeners the other day. Like, you know, I was dreading playing Cyberpunk again, and he was like, oh, you can just skip the tutorial, which I didn't even have to do, because it GOG Galaxy had a cloud save. So thank God I didn't have to restart over. But, you know, you don't get that option with the older JRPGs. So you're going to like have the same start every time. I wonder if even the newest Fire Emblem lets you skip. They have to, because they have, I think it recognizes when you beat one storyline. Oh my God, I just realized I have two storylines, like two more storylines to beat Trung.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck. Which sucks, because that game makes you play them, because they don't give you the full picture of the story in one storyline, which takes like 60 hours anyway. Oh my God, dude. Pisses me off. It gets me upset. It's like you get like almost three games in one game, but it's still, it's the same grind in between, just different cutscenes eventually. Yeah, that's in general, that's like the major downsides. And, you know, to give some examples of some JRPGs that are super long, I remember Trung way back in a couple first episodes, one of them, right? You brought up that you watched someone stream, you know, the newest Dragon Quest.
Yeah, 9.
Right, 9. And that's Echoes of an Elusive Age, which is like one of the versions of it or some shit.
Yeah.
But how many hours? Didn't you say it was like 100 hours or something to complete? But you
Well,
just
I
like,
mean, my friend fully completed the game, so it's probably like 100 hours plus, like the post-game stuff too, where there was more story.
Yeah, and you're like, that stream was it for you. Like that was good enough.
Yeah, like I don't need to play it. It's a long game. I'd rather not invest my time into that.
Yeah, and you brought this up because it's on the X Pass, and I was like, dude, I should play this. And you're like, let's cool your jets. I can't even beat .hackg. So that's an example to like caution. You know, that will probably eat up your whole X Pass if you have time to even play it, right?
Right.
Which is a huge thing, like being able to play it concurrently. Or consistently is a better word, sorry. And then another example, it's an oldie, and listener of the show, Ben, or, you know, one of our friends who's been on, he used to play this game called The Last Remnant, which is, you know, a Square Enix game. So it's like a Final Fantasy clone. But it was all based on party combat and like dungeon clearing. And the party combat was massive. Like you could have like 30 people in your party or something, and you like controlled 10 at a time, and you would like you don't rotate them out. You just like rotate to the next party of 10. It's like, you have the screen, you have the boss, and then, you know, the first 10 go, and then you rotate to the next, you know, 10 members, and you select their, like, you micromanage them, and then you rotate to the final 10, and apparently it's very brutal. It's on Steam. There's a port that came out, like, years ago, like, 8 years ago or something. But, you know, that has, like, on average 80 hours to complete. And it's brutally hard. And then also, one of my favorites, Persona 4 Golden, easily over 100 hours. I think all the Personas kind of let you max, you know, grind and max out to your heart's content before you finish the game. And I think I played it on the Vita. And I think I put probably 70 hours into it. Just like following the, you know, it's one of those games where there's like the social quest lines and then the actual quest lines and then the side quests. And then again, Persona implements grinding, like strategic grinding, I call it, to keep you in the game longer to, you know, because you hit a wall in Persona. You do. It's a dungeon crawler. And then I don't have it wrong. I want to play it. This is one of the games, you know, we talked about games we wanted to play that were released. Yeah. But Persona 5, I can just guess how fucking long that game is. If not longer than Persona 4. But yeah, those are some examples. Strung, do you have anything? I don't know if the Kingdom Hearts games are, I don't think they're that long.
They're not that long. They go by pretty quick. Yeah.
Mainly combat, right? So.
Yeah. So the one long one that I surprised you didn't mention was GU. Any of the Dot Hack series games are pretty long.
Oh, dude, the originals were like so long. But yeah, GU, you know, even with the new trilogy, it doesn't age well. Like, it's just so. The story is good. Because what Dot Hack game doesn't, or just what Dot Hack, you know, content. Doesn't have a good story to it. It's so hard to fuck it up. But like, the gameplay is just go to the dungeon. It's the same looking dungeons. There's like five different presets, same type of missions. It's just not fun when you know, you're sitting there and you're playing it, and you know you have like 1,000 hours to go, right?
Yeah.
To beat four games, and you're like I literally grinded for the in-game arena, the battle arena. Just to beat the first game. Like, I had a grind because I hit a wall and I was like, oh my God. So, you know, I'm sitting there playing this when I could play, you know, something else, like anything else to lessen my suffering. Cause I want to get a couple hours of game really, you know? So, yeah, it's long. It's long. I don't know. And then you have people on Reddit who are just like, you know, they praise it, which good for them. I'm glad they get enjoyment out of it, but it's just not realistic for a lot of people. But saying that, there's a lot that you can get out of a JRPG. And I just want to get the most obvious out of the way, the more bang for your buck argument. I already said it earlier, but I'm just going to say it again. Like, if it's truly a game that's good and you love it, say like, I wouldn't even argue, or I would argue to say Final Fantasy 15 is really fucking enjoyable. I think the general consensus rung was that it was.
Yeah.
And that's a game where you can grind, and that's a game where you can do side quests, you know, with like that universe of that persona of Cid, because there's always like a Cid, right? But that game you can get 100 hours out of, and you'll more than likely enjoy it. Especially with like the harder tier dungeons at the end. So I think that's a huge plus. There's a lot of JRPG. I mean, you can say about any type of, you know, you can say about an RPG, you can say about an MMO that has an actual story to it. Like Final Fantasy, right?
Reborn. <Yeah. laughs>
But, there's some JRPGs that are very special. I mean, Trung, we still talk about today where I don't think there can ever be a game that like upsets the genre so much like Kingdom Hearts did with like the fusion of Disney and Final Fantasy.
Yeah, right? Kingdom Hearts was pretty revolutionary at the time, since it was a JRPG that did not do the turn-based combat. He still had a party combat, but then he also like brought in Disney characters, and who doesn't know Disney characters?
Yeah.
Along with the popular Final Fantasy characters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something different, dude. Like, we talked about that game every day. It was so different.
Yeah.
And it was a gateway drug to JRPGs. It was a gateway drug to the Final Fantasy universe for me. So, but yeah, you can get, there's some very special games in the JRPG genre that you won't experience that story outside of JRPGs, you know? just like you won't experience, you know, Skyrim within the JRPG realm, or the Fallout series, or Fable. You know, those are very much, you know, heavy hitters in the Western side of things, but JRPG, you know, they get, we're recording live in Discord, and we have some rowdy people who are just, they're posting funny shit, but, shout out to them. But like, you know, we get the Kingdom Hearts, right? Not 30, like you said, not 30, but,
yeah, not 3.
Yeah. We get the Doll Hacks. We get Radio Stories. We get, oh my God, I just hit my mic. We get Final Fantasies, like all of them, good or bad. We get them, for the most part, they're good, but you know, Suikoden and all that stuff. So there's a lot of good storylines coming out of it. I would say with time too, they're more accessible and they're actually fun to play. So like the newest Tales is a great example of that, Trung, where they just completely modernize the combat, the stylization of the game, and the depth of the game. Of what you can do in it, where you can go in it. And of course, Tales stories are just always on point. And the dialogue, like the dialogue is so unique to JRPGs. I think like it doesn't even have to come down to like, you can pick a choice and have impact. It's literally like, it can just be preset and you're just reading. And you're like, damn, this is like reading a class A manga, right? So
it sounds like a pick your own adventure type of books. Back in the day.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot going on in the JRPGs. It's just a double-edged sword. You just get a lot. It takes a lot of time to enjoy them. But definitely don't fall for the trap where someone tells you the game gets good 30 hours in. Don't fucking do that. You don't have 30 hours to waste. Okay. Go watch.
Unless you do,
but go day trade or something and say, go watch your stocks plummet and then come back 5 years later. But yeah, definitely don't listen to it gets better in 30 hours. You know, we talked about this, the Tales game I was playing on X Pass when everyone in the online forum was saying it gets better in 30 hours. I was like, what?
What?
Okay. Yeah, sure. But Troy, is there anything that really makes it easy for you to defend JRPGs? Like, what's your favorite aspect about one?
All of their combats are very different, and some of them add innovative stuff to make it more interesting. It's not just take your turn and hit the monster like this. Ability points, classes, all this other nonsense that is always involved with one of the JRPGs.
Yeah, they do classes really well.
But yeah, I love Final Fantasy classes. They're like the most interesting thing I've encountered in any type of video game.
Especially in tactics.
Yeah.
I know Triangle Strategy has awesome classes. And even like the J, or I guess you would even call them like the strategy RPGs, like Disgaea, right?
They have
fucking hilarious, like they do some crazy shit. And that ties in with your combat, you know, comment, because Disgaea is combat on crack. Like, I don't know how you could ever top that game in it's ridiculousness.
It's like slapstick comedy is what they go for, which is hilarious.
Yeah, with like 30 billion damage combo moves with your whole party.
Let me throw this moon at you.
Yeah, or I like the one where like the whole party gets in, like forms a tower and just like nukes the map and you're like the penguins are everywhere and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, like that game definitely doesn't take itself too seriously, which is good.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that in the genre too. There's a lot of unique things going on.
Yeah, there's some that are like Disgaea that are comedic, whereas it's not really serious.
And then you have Final Fantasy Tactics, where this dude's like everyone in the orphanage, including the protagonist, gets sucked into a book of fantasy, and the main enemy, if you will. One of the kids from the orphanage is handicapped and doesn't want to go back to face reality because life sucked. And then that protagonist is like, stop running away, and then fucking beats the shit out.
Like, grabs like one, by the collar.
One by one, just starts whacking all of his friends in this fantasy setting, right? Like, it's so funny. Like, He's like, reality came calling, you know? It's so funny. Pretty cool.
So the one also good thing is that since it is a single player game, you can drop it and come back to it whenever you want.
Yeah. You just might not remember what you were doing. But that can be said about any game, right? So, I wanted to bring up, before concluding, I wanted to bring up episode input from one of our fans, Ender. Back when we asked this input like a month ago, almost 2 months ago now.
No big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, we asked, you know, should casual gamers play JRPGs? And Ender said, JRPGs are a wonderful genre, or is a wonderful genre of game, because no matter how much experience you have with games, you can find them fulfilling and rewarding. Even if you can only play for 15 to 30 minutes a day, you can almost always make some progress in the game. Some expectations to this would be boss fights. Oh, I said exceptions. Expectations. Yeah, some exceptions to this would be boss fights, as boss fights usually take 30 minutes to an hour to complete, which is true. The boss fights in most games are like mini climaxes, so.
Unless you're playing Elden Ring, then every boss fight is like a final boss fight.
Yeah, which I find interesting. But that's not a JRPG, so we can't talk about it.
It's made by Japan. Come on.
Come on, man. I don't know.
Soft is a Japanese studio.
It is, but do they consider themselves... Does it have RPG aspects, or is it straight up?
Yeah, it does have RPG aspects. You level up, you put skill points, there's classes, different weapons.
That's an interesting debate. You know, when I think of JRPGs... Too. Yeah, and it's not anime at all, so...
No, of course not.
If it is a JRPG, it's probably one of the darkest ones, or at least aesthetically dark, right?
Yeah,
that's, you know... Should casual gamers play JRPGs? Trung, what is your final verdict? I'm not even really surprised.
Yeah. But I'm biased. So yes, it is something, like I said, you can pick up and play and put down if you need to. And then if you don't have time, you can just put it away. And then when you have time, you can play it again. Like it's still going to be there, whether you play it or not, you know, like it's not any of these modern RPG, MMORPGs or any online games where you play with other players, where you have to be experiencing fear of missing out, which is how they get you to play the games, is to make you feel like if you don't play it every day, you'll fall behind.
Right.
And JRPG is a single player game, so you'll never have to worry about that.
And most of the time, there's no in-game shop, like you'll see with Ubisoft, so.
All right.
But I agree with you. But I will say it's extremely hard to balance playing a JRPG if you're mainly multiplayer, right? Like if you're playing League of Legends every day or CSGO or Dota or whatever, it's hard to like, I know when I was playing League Drunk, like it was so hard to like drop playing League, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cause you like almost that FOMO sense, right? But in the competitive sense, like I want to get my rank, like every time I'm not playing League, I'm not gaining, you know, MR or LP. I'm not getting LP, so it's very hard to drop the multiplayer just to play a JRPG, because then it'll, you know, that 80 hours completion turns into like half a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say they're not all worth it, but there's a handful that would really open your eyes. That's very unique to JRPGs, so definitely give it a shot. It's an interesting debate. I'll be waiting to see what people say about it once they hear this episode. But yeah, that's the episode. That's if casual gamers should play JRPGs. We hope you had a great time. I did. I love talking about JRPGs. I love talking about games in general, Tron. So
yeah, I love talking in general. Not really. Yeah. That's a lie.
Oh man,
got him.
Yeah, well, that's the episode, and now it's your favorite part, the outro. So be sure to check out our website, swordslinepod.com, where we have all the relevant links, where you can check up on us and see what's new, see what's relevant. You can listen to our podcast directly from the website, You can read her blogs. And wouldn't you know, we have a new blog series where I'm, you know, throughout the week, I consume a lot of content. So whether I'm reading or watching a video on YouTube, or, you know, getting, you know, suggestions from fans or Trung about news or other content they've, you know, consumed on RPGs, JRPGs, MMORPGs. It's kind of like it's in a newsletter format without being a newsletter. And every Monday and Friday I'm posting, you know, in case you missed any of what we've watched or read during the week involving those genres. So if that interests you, be sure to check out the website every Monday and Friday. They're usually live around 7 a.m. U.S. Eastern. And you'll have some great articles to read and some cool YouTube videos to watch. So be sure to check that out in the blog tab. And then also, if you haven't already, leave us a review. You can leave us a review directly on the website, and it helps us out a ton, and we'll shout them out as they come in. And that's pretty much it. If you like the show, please tell your friends, tell your family, help us grow, because that's how we primarily grow, is by word of mouth. And, you know, until next time, we'll see you in the future. Hopefully soon. Peace out.
Later, everybody.